And so we do a lot of singing of the Psalms, so I'll try to do that here. Psalms 34, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear of and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's take our Bibles quickly and turn to the Gospel of John in chapters numbers 19. John's Gospel, chapters numbers 19. Amen. Verse numbers 25. John's Gospel, chapters 19, and from verse numbers 25, it says here, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to his disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for who you are. And God, we just want to praise your name. And God, we just want to exalt your name and lift up your name, God, today. And we just want to give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And so we come to this junction with this scripture here. And remember preaching that here on Mother's Day, how Jesus' mother stood by him. Amen. At the point of his death sentence, she stood there with him.
Yep.
Amen. She did not move, but I want to see if I could lean it here to the perspective and be able to see if we can deliberate or preach on the subject matter, standing with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Standing with Jesus. And of course, in our text, it says in verse 25, and there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. And of course, there were other one or two other persons that was there. There were at least another three women that was there with her. And so at least about four of them were standing there. And they stood there with Jesus until he basically gave up that ghost. Amen?
Yeah.
And I want to apply that to us today as Christian, that as we live this life, because the life that we live is not supposed to be our life.
Yeah.
As Paul said, but the life that we live is Christ.
Amen.
And if we live that life for Christ, it means therefore that we ought to stick with him till the end.
Amen.
The songwriter says, footprints of Jesus that makes the pathway glow. I will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go.
Amen.
And so that is supposed to be our responsibility. That is supposed to be our duty, that we are supposed to be individual that would stick with him.
Yeah.
But of course, to the contrary, so often we see that it doesn't pan out the way that God expects us to, the way that God expects us to. So many times we turn our back on him. So many times we feel as though we start telling ourselves that living for him is a failure. But pursuing our own goals is more prosperous and more beneficial. But friend, today I want us to understand that we ought to stand with Jesus.
Amen.
We have to stand with him. And looking here from his mother, how she stood with him, and just trying to deliberate a little bit here on you know, just looking at the passage and looking within the text and trying to put ourselves inside of the story.
Yeah.
Here, from the perspective, not as his mother or as his father, but as humble servants.
Yeah.
As persons, as people, a group of people that the Bible calls us, that we are zealous, that we are a peculiar people, that he laid down his life for us, that he died for us, as we well know that. That he died for us. And so the whole objective of him being in the position in which he's in right now, as we read in this text, is because you and I were on his mind.
Amen.
He knew that one day, that listen, that such and such person with such and such name living in Kentucky or wherever you are, wherever you've grown up, wherever you trusted Jesus Christ, that you were lost.
Amen.
And you couldn't help yourself.
Yes.
You couldn't save yourself. Accepting you come and acknowledge your sin, that you are a sinner and that you need Jesus, and you put trust in his finished work.
Amen.
Of what he has done on Calvary. I mean, do we know that Israel, how many times that, of course, every year that they strive and they see they could kill the animals and stuff like that to shed the blood to make atonement for sin. But I want you to know that Jesus never died to make an atonement for my sin. He died to take my sins away. Because when they kill that animal, when they kill that bull, when they kill that lamb, it was just only to atone sin. And the atonement of sin means is the delaying of the wrath of God. That's what atonement means. But praise God, when John the Baptist saw him coming down in that river, he didn't say, oh, behold the Lamb of God that atone the sins of the world. But he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That was the first time that the Jews have ever heard such a remark. That here is a lamb that is able to take away the sins of the world.
Amen.
And not just atone the sins of the world. Amen? And boy, I just thank God for the fact that Jesus took my sins away. Amen? Glory to God for the day that he took my sins away. When he went to Calvary, praise God, when he went to Calvary, he died on Calvary's cross to take my sins away. And I tell you what, if someone has done so much for me, I believe I ought to stay with him.
Amen.
I believe I ought to stick with such an individual.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I believe I had to stick with such an individual that he came to rectify all the problems that we face in this life, all the troubles and all the struggles that we have. As we read in the book of Genesis, you know, that man, you know, in the Garden of Eden, when men fall, but praise God, the day that Jesus, of course, you know, he died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, and the Bible says that the veil in the temple had rent. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, I tell you what, that veil was so thick. It was very, you know, it was well woven and stuff like that. And there's no way that the human being is able to pull it apart. But when Jesus died and that veil rent, that shows that man got access.
Amen.
Amen. That is for the access of man.
Amen.
Because in the Garden of Eden, we know that God put that two cherubims there with a flaming sword, indicating to man that, listen, you have to stay out from here. You have to stay out from here. And in that tabernacle, them two cherubims, they are interwoven, of course, in that curtain. And they are heading to each other with their wings facing each other. But when that veil rent, of course, and it split in the middle, them two cherubims go apart from each other.
Amen.
And men begin to get access.
Amen.
That was access.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God for Jesus. And I tell you what, if a person did all of that for me, I ought to stay with him.
Amen. That's good.
I ought to stay with him. Amen?
Amen.
I believe we ought to stand with Jesus.
Yeah.
And Mary, his mother, showed us that example. Because that day when he was dying on that cross, all his good friends forsook him.
Yeah. Right.
They all left him. Mm-hmm. They left him. But his mother and his four women and the disciple whom he loved, they stayed with him. I'll tell you what, sometimes many people might run away from him. But praise God, there is a few people, there's a few remnant that is willing to stay with Jesus.
Amen?
Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be always be part of that remnant that would stay with him.
Yes.
That would definitely stay with him, regardless as to what it may be at the time of the tide, and they're going to stay with Jesus.
Yes.
Amen? They're going to stay with him. And so Mary here, as we try to see if we can make at least about two or three points or whatever amount we can get in, you know, as time, you know, crosses our path here. And the Bible says in verse number 25 that, and now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. And I tell you what, Mary indicate for a woman, I tell you, to stand at the cross of Jesus at that time, at that particular point, It took a sacrifice.
Yeah, sure.
It took a sacrifice. And believers, I want you to know today that if you're going to keep standing for Jesus, you have to sacrifice something.
Amen.
It will take a sacrifice to stand for Jesus.
Right,
it will. Because I'll tell you what, sometimes you may be in that job place and it just might be you alone. And boy, I'll tell you what, you look kind of funny. Because I'll tell you what, you want to take that hard stand. It's probably only you alone that really want to stand in that King James Bible. Only you alone that, you know, that believe in that Trinity.
Yeah.
Only you alone that probably, you know, believe in not speaking in that tongues and stuff as that.
Yeah.
Only you alone that probably believe in that, you know, soul winning and trying to win soul. And boy, I'll tell you what, it might seem as though you're in a position where it's just you and you alone.
You're preaching.
Man, you and you alone. Your company is not very great.
Yeah.
That is supporting you. And Mary didn't have a big company, but he took a sacrifice to stand and to stay with Jesus.
Amen.
Because I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's not always easy.
That's right.
That's the honest truth about it.
Right.
Sometimes as Christian, I'll tell you what, sometimes we want to be denying of that fight, but it is not always easy.
Amen.
Living for God.
Yeah.
Man, it is not meant to be easy. Because why? The fact of the matter is that the reason why it's not meant to be easy, because we are flesh. And as flesh, flesh will fail us.
Amen.
And as flesh, it is difficult to overcome. It is difficult to conquer situation. As flesh, we fear things. And we become trembling about things in many ways than one. But praise God for the enabling power of God.
Amen.
And as a Christian to stand with him, it means therefore that you ought to be a person that is willing to stay on your knees. And staying on your knees will be a sacrifice. Because so many times there are better things to do than praying. So many times there is better things to do than reading the Bible. So many things there is better things to do than trying to be in contact with God. And as a result of that, it takes a sacrifice to stand for Jesus.
Amen, preacher. That's right.
Man, to stand for him, it takes a sacrifice.
That's good.
And I tell you what, when you and I begin to make that sacrifice, in us, we begin to have a stronger love for him.
Amen.
The more we sacrifice, is the more our love for him will grow.
Amen.
The more we sacrifice, the more we get intimate with him. I'm not just only talking about working hard and doing things for the honor and glory of God, or sweeping the church, or being in the church and cleaning the windows and, you know, playing the music and doing all the other stuff. We know that all of those things are necessary and they ought to be done. But in spite of all of that, we have to be intimate with him.
Amen.
David is David not because he killed Goliath.
Right.
Not because he was able to overcome Saul, and he's able to overcome most of his foe and the Philistines. That's not why he's David. He's David because he wrote Psalms 23. He's David because why? He was the highest political official of the land. In other words, the busiest person probably within the whole land of Israel, having to judge the people and do all this kind of stuff. But he still found time to write so much of the Psalms.
Amen. That's good preaching.
And it only takes a person that is willing to be intimate with God.
Amen.
That's a sacrifice. That's why when in the book of Kings, God said, he said he only have one problem with David. And that is in the matter concerning Uriah the Hittite's wife. One problem he had with David.
Yeah.
And that is only in that matter. That's what he said. Because why? When he looked at David, he called him a man after his own heart.
Yeah.
He's yearning and seeking for God. For I'll tell you what, it takes a sacrifice to do that. So man, it takes a sacrifice to stand for Jesus. When everything around you seems to be falling apart. When everything around you seems to be going down. Hey, you ought to still be able to stand for Jesus.
Amen.
Man,
yes.
When the odds are against you, when it seems as though the whole crowd is not in support to what you believe and what you stand for, you ought to stand for Jesus still.
Amen.
And that is exactly what was happening to Mary right here.
Amen.
Everybody left him. Now, Let's think about this in that way. Let's get ourselves inside this story. The reason why the other disciples flee from Jesus is because they was fearing for their lives. They did not want to be associated with him or to be found in association of one of those who follow him, because they was in fear that their life would be taken.
Mm-hmm.
But here is Mary and the others. Now, while it may not be a widespread practice in those times to to deal with women in that kind of harsh way, in that manner, for that purpose. But at the same time, she was willing to expose herself and say, listen, yes, I'm his mother.
Yeah.
I'm his mother. I'm his mother. Hey, in other words, in modern day, you know, I'm trying to say that she was willing to say, listen, I am one of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I am one of them who live for him. I am one of them who stands firm on this King James Bible.
Amen.
I am one of them who believe that you got to trust him, and his salvation is not by works, but it's by faith, it's by grace through faith. Yes, I am one of them that believe that. I am one of them that hold to that position. She was willing to declare herself, and standing for Jesus will take a sacrifice.
Amen.
Then he will take a sacrifice. Now, looking at the sacrifice from that standpoint, it was a sacrifice on her part. We got to understand too, likewise, putting ourselves in the story. I'm trying to condense other things here and stuff like that to zero down and to lessen the points and stuff. We got to understand here that while Mary was standing there, could you imagine the things that were said about Jesus by some of the other people that were standing in the back? I could imagine some of them saying, man, he saved others. Why don't he save himself?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
I could imagine that many of them saying, you know what? Where was those friends who were standing with? Where are they now?
Yeah.
I tell you, man, it's a good thing I didn't join that church. So, man, it's a good thing I didn't start going to church. I tell you what, them church people, man, they're hypocrites. And let alone, they call him God. They say that he's a king of kings. Look at him with a crown of thorns up on his head. And they make mockery. Hey, look at his clothing. They cast lots and they tear it among themselves and shed it among themselves. I mean, who is he to call himself the king of the Jews? He is a nobody. He is a carpenter's son. He's a nobody. Boy, I could imagine somebody in the back saying, man, I tell you what, cuss is that woman that ever brought this man into this world. And his mother is standing right there. And she had to stand there. And she decided, you know what? In all modern day, we'll say, I'll tell you what, that's just too much of abuse for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just too much. I can't take this kind of abuse. You know what? I'm going to just leave it. And I believe that's just the will of God. I'm going to just turn my back on him and let it be what it had to be and let God do the rest. But Mary said, I'll tell you what, that is my son. And I'm standing with him. And I'm staying with him till the last breath. Even if it means that I'm going to lose my life for his sake, I'm going to stand with him. For I'll tell you what, that ought to be our goal, that, listen, we're going to stand with Jesus, come what may.
Amen. Amen.
Come what may. We're going to stand for Jesus, regardless as to what the world has to say about us. We're going to stand.
Amen.
We're going to stand. We're going to stay by the side of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Good.
And so, Mary, she decided, I'm going to stay with him. She made that sacrifice. I could think about back there in the tabernacle, in that outer court, when all the tribes would gather there in that outer court.
Yes.
And boy, just about anybody could come in that outer court. I mean, just anybody could just be there. But before anybody could make a move, a sacrifice must take place in that outer court. I mean, sacrifice has to take place in that outer court before that priest could ever make another move to proceed to the place where God, where you can feel the presence of God. And I tell you what, if you and I would just only stand with Jesus and make that sacrifice, I could guarantee we'll start feeling God's presence.
Amen.
We'll start heading to that place where we can be able to rest and find ourselves in his presence. And, you know, we want it quick and fast. In the world that we live in, everything is just quick and it is real fast. I mean, in America here, I tell you what, it's real fast. When I come here, things are done, just really, really quick. I mean, a drive-through bank and a drive-through restaurant and everything, you know what I mean? Everything is just really, really quick, you know what I mean? Really, really quick and stuff like that. And so it is that sometimes we figure when it comes to God, that God ought to operate as how the world operates. Amen? Hey, we got to get all that glory, we got to get everything, we got to get all that splendor, we got to get all that wonder within the time that we want God to be here. Hey, God better show up within the time we're supposed to be here, or else we out. But I tell you what, to meet him, we got to take some sacrifice. Now, whose time are we on? God's time or our time? And it means, therefore, that if we're in God's time, we got to be sacrificial individuals and wait on Him. The Bible says, we got to wait on the Lord.
Yes.
Hey, we got to be patient.
Yes.
We got to be patient individuals. Sometimes we mix up that word patient and long-suffering. Because long-suffering is when we are able to control the circumstances. We could do something to change it.
Yeah.
But with patience, we just got to wait because there's nothing we could do to change it.
That's good.
The Bible never expressed in any way at all for us to be long-suffering with God.
Come on.
But we got to be patient with God.
Good.
Because when it comes to God's things, there is nothing you and I could do. We always refer to Job as the most patient person. Why? Because Job had to just wait on God. He just had to wait on God. There was nothing Job could have done to change the circumstances.
Right.
It was all God.
Read
on, so as Christians, sometimes when the circumstances are not changing, you got to wait on God. See what I mean? You got to wait on God. We got to sacrifice so that we'll be able to stay with Jesus. As we know that the scripture also tells us that where man's treasure is, that's where his heart is.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what. If we regard the church as a place where we place our treasures, if we regard Christ as the one that we give our treasures to, our heart will be with him.
That's good.
Our hearts will be with him. Because so often we are more willing to give to ourselves. We are more willing to make sacrifice for ourselves and our kids and stuff like that. And we ought to, but I tell you what, when it comes to God, we must be more willing to give to God than to ourselves.
Amen.
Because he says this, Christ must increase and we must decrease. Because so often we think that we are somebody. We think that we are something. We have a white-collar job. We have a good education. We graduate from a prestigious university and stuff like that. We hold a degree and stuff like that. And not that anything is wrong with all of those, all of those stuff. We know that they are there and they help in some way or the other. But sometimes we let those things take the preeminence in our lives.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
But don't you realize that you and I, we are nothing according to the scripture?
Yeah, exactly.
Because here the Bible says, Christ, he left heaven. And he came down and he made himself of what?
No reputation.
Because he took on himself what?
The form of a servant.
The form of a servant. And that servant has flesh and blood. And when you've got flesh and blood, as nice as you think you are, as educated as you think you are, you have no reputation.
Yeah, you're right,
preacher. No reputation.
Good.
Huh?
It's good.
He descended himself to be of no reputation. I'll tell you what. We ought to be willing to sacrifice for such an individual. Amen? One that is able to take all our sins, rest it upon his back, take all our sins, bore all our sins,
thank God,
and his nail to the cross.
Thank you.
Nailed it all to the cross, striving so long. God has always waited on man. In the Garden of Eden, he came down, and boy, he was waiting on Adam. He's calling him. He was expecting him to be in a particular place. And there he finds, he's not coming. And he starts calling him. He says, Adam, where are you? And Adam starts speaking to him. And he says, wow, what have you done? What have you done? And you know what? It is not Jesus himself so often had waited on his disciples. He waited on them many a times. And I tell you what, even up to today, oftentimes we make him wait on us. Don't we? We make him wait on us. In the morning, sometimes, or whatever times we designate as prayer time, or whatever time we try to spend with him, he waits on us.
Yeah.
He waits on us, and sometimes 24 hours pass, 48 pass, and he's still waiting. So bad for us as Christians, sometimes weeks pass, and we still have God waiting. I don't know about you, but I'm guilty. I'm guilty that too often we have him waiting on us. We got to learn to make that sacrifice.
Amen.
So that we can stay with Jesus. Amen? Mary, not only that she made that sacrifice, but we notice that also she, to stay with him, if we're going to stand by him, you're going to take a sacrifice. If we're going to stay with him, is going to take a great stand.
Yeah.
He's going to take a stand. Amen. To be that person that would be willing to stay. Amen. We got to be willing to stay with him. Mm-hmm. And boy, that's hard. And for Mary, now remember, let's remember here now, that's her son. It is not easy for any mother to watch their son get or be put to death. Yeah. It could never be easy. I don't care how much you're probably disgusted with her son, how much he probably done things that wrong you, but after all, you had him for 9 months. Amen. You felt his touch. He kicked you. I mean, you dreamt of a lot of things. When it comes into that, Mary had to stand there and look at her son. But she realized he was not just the ordinary average person. Yeah. And so as a result of that, she knew that his purpose was greater. Yeah. You mean? And because she understood that his purpose was greater, she said, I'll tell you what, I'm staying. And if you and I would realize that the reason why he's in our lives is because the purpose is greater, we'll be more than willing to stay. If you and I would realize that the purpose why these doors are open is a purpose that is greater than us, what we could ever imagine, we'll always be willing to stay with him. Sometimes people have difficulties in staying in small churches. Man, they just want a big church where they could lose within that big church. I don't condemn big churches in any way. That's not what I'm trying to do here. But I'll tell you what. When you look at a lot of the Baptist history and stuff like that, is a lot of little pockets of small churches all over in the 17 and 1800s. A lot of little pockets of small churches. Because I'll tell you something about that, about small churches. Listen, on two occasions, the Bible indicates when men walk right with God. Two occasions. Maybe you have the ability to discover another one, but only two occasions in my studies I've discovered that. One, in the Garden of Eden. And it was only two persons. When they walk uprightly in the sight of God, God was just delighted in Adam and Eve for whatever length of time they were there before they fall.
Right.
The next time that happened is after the flood, and it was just eight of them that was there. And friend, I'll tell you what, when you're talking about trying to get close to God, when you're talking about trying to reach God, I'll tell you what, so often it is easier for 6 persons, 7 persons, 10, 20 persons to be in touch with God and to really be united than to have 600.
Come on.
You mean? Because when you got 600, I'll tell you what, you probably got about 100 bad attitudes waking up this morning, coming, song leader fighting. Oh, you may have more noise, you may have more singing, you may have more of this and more of that. But friend, I'll tell you what, listen, being in a small church is a blessing.
Amen.
You mean? It is a blessing to be in a small church. And even if you're in a small church, remember, you got to stay with Jesus.
Amen.
Now you say, what am I alluding to? In the passage, how many of them were standing there?
Come on. Amen.
Amen.
Huh? How many of them was willing to watch Jesus died? Huh? How many of them was willing to support Mary in watching her son go down? Not much.
Amen.
But I'll tell you what happened after that, It was so phenomenal, because one of those individuals here, John, is supposedly John standing here. He got a glimpse of heaven.
Amen.
That's right.
Have you ever gotten a glimpse of heaven? But John got a first-hand glimpse.
Yeah.
I tell you what. And he was right there at the cross with a small number. And boy, he got a glimpse of heaven.
Amen.
Man, he got a glimpse of heaven. Notwithstanding the fact. I tell you what, when we start doing things like that, and we start making that sacrifice, and we start standing, I tell you what God will do. He will do as what he will do in the book of Acts, where I was planning to preach tonight. That once we have all things common, what the Bible tells in the book of Acts, when they had all things common, he said the church was added. He said that about 3,000 souls was added daily unto the church. Addition started taking place. When the Bible starts speaking about this, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. And when they continue in the apostles and they keep going on and they keep staying with God and having all things in common, guess what started to happen? It moved it was no more addition, but the Bible says multiplication started taking place.
Yeah.
Multiplication. But it started with a small, with 12 men.
Yeah.
I mean, 12 individuals. You know, when they just keep going and so on. And before long, addition started taking place. And as soon as they continue to have all things common, multiplication start taking place. And when it gets so big, the Bible's talking about multitudes. But it started with a small group.
Yes.
See? A small group. What they did, they stayed. They took a stand and they stayed with Jesus.
Amen.
And it explored into something unimaginable.
You're right.
You and I, we got to understand that if we have to stand with Jesus as we're supposed to, I believe you me, it may take a sacrifice, but it might take a staying that we have to learn to stay with him regardless as to what happens. We got to stay with him. Stay with the book. Stay with the stuff. Stay with the preaching.
Amen.
Stay with the praying. Amen? Stay with the Bible reading. Stay with what comes from this pulpit. Stay with it. Stay with the good stuff. I could guarantee you, you'll reach somewhere.
Amen.
Amen? You and I will reach somewhere. I'm going to end here. My friend, I wanted you to know tonight that we need to stand with Jesus.
Amen.
Because he's worth standing for.
You're right.
Amen.
Amen. He's worth standing for. The old song says, stand up. Stand up for Jesus.
Amen.
He's soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner because it must not suffer loss.
Amen.
All the losses ought to go with us, not with him. Not with him. You got to be with us. Let's stand up for Jesus. Amen? Let's stand up for Jesus. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you. We honor you. And oh God, I pray, may you bless your word to our hearts. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this moment. Lord, though we're brief, but Father, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name.